stupid, I'd join their church chat. That looks like a pretty cool, pretty exciting stuff coming up, eh? The music play?
No.
No, okay, I'm hearing. Okay, I thought maybe there were more slides to come. But join us in the new year and join us Christmas and an exciting time's coming. I mean, I don't know about you, but would you join a church that looks like that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? Would you invite your friends to a church like that? I would. Come on, man. Amen. I even think of joining children's church. All my excuses are out for me. So this morning is an invitation. We've been talking about the invitation. David, an invitation to hope. Tony, the invitation to peace. And this morning is an invitation to joy. So this last year, we've seen the clock's on zero. How you got the intro this morning, this last year, I've seen so many couples get married. I've seen others split up. I've seen births. I've seen deaths. I've seen joyous baby dedication and some funerals. I've seen churches flourish. I've seen some leaders ordained and excited about ministry. And I've seen other leaders who are tired and exhausted and just holding on for dear life. I've seen some businesses flourish while others have struggled. I've prayed for some people and seen them healed, and I've prayed for some people and seen them pass through to be with Jesus. And there's been months of meeting the budget and months where there was more month than budget. I don't know if anyone's had one of those. Days of load shedding and then days of electricity. I don't know, it's just like there's electricity now, it's Christmas. Excuse the expression, but it is, you know. Seeing the fruit of ministry, just the most incredible stuff happening at Willow Hill, here, and in churches around the nation and around the globe, where I've traveled and been involved speaking at in various places. But there's also a sense of being worn down by the onslaught of humanistic thinking through 2024. It's been a year of ups and downs, of victories and failures, of blessings and difficulties. Anybody? If your life has been perfect this year, don't worry, your problems will be with you shortly. Yeah? That's not a prophecy, it's just, just live life on this planet. Okay. So, but even if I can draw it into our family here at Centurion, David started this Advent series a few weeks back, and if you were here, he spoke about the invitation to hope. And if you were here, it's an excellent message. If you weren't here, watch it on YouTube. But I don't know if you know David and Shirley will be going to scatter mom's ashes in PE. But he's talking about hope and the hope that we have that is secure in Jesus. Tony spoke last week on peace. What a wonderful message. And this morning, if you're not aware, and I'd like us to take a moment to pray, Helen, the message from Tony is Helen is fading fast. And here I am, and I have to speak about joy. And yet I want to weep for Helen. But he spoke about peace so beautifully last week. And I think we need to pray that the peace that he spoke about, that supernatural peace that makes no sense, would be his and Helen's. And that Megan is coming, he's on his way to fetch to the airport to fetch their daughter Megan. And that she will make it in time to see her mother. And that Helen will be conscious enough to see her family and that they can say goodbye. So we family, and we need to know, and we need to pray, and we need to undergird this family in prayer. So what I'd like us to do is take a few moments to pray. But I don't want to pray from the front, because prayer is a team sport. So can we do this? I'm going to step off the stage for a moment and go and stand, Ellen and Charlemagne, and just take a few moments to pray. And can you just gather with the people next to you, maybe just hold hands, let's close our eyes and let's lift this precious family and our precious Heather to the Lord. Just take hand and you guys pray for me. I'm going to just make my way down here and just pray quickly and then we'll continue.
Hello.
So, do send messages of encouragement and prayers and blessing for Tony and Helen and family. Because we are family, yes? See, now I'm going to talk about joy. Man's had this beautiful picture for Helen, and now I feel like weeping, and I need to speak about joy. But. Even as I prepared this morning, in our own lives, so often when we preach, the weight of preaching, when you preach about something that is often tested, and on Wednesday I was at the office here, I took my mom, she was at Garden City Clinic for a checkup, and they weren't happy with some stuff, so she was going to get checked in just for some tests, and so she's still currently in hospital having some scans and tests and what have you, but while she was in the busy getting checked in the ward, the nurses took one look at me and said, no, something's not lacking here, off you go down to casualty. So I ended up in Garden City Clinic on Wednesday as well. Now I am fine, as you can see, fit, fat and flourishing. But you know, when I talk about joy and like all the stuff's going on, and we pray for Helen and this, my mom's in hospital and stuff, but you know, when I thought about this thing of joy, I thought of marriage vows. You know, there's this thing where Jesus says that in this world you will have trouble, yeah? But then he also says that he will give us abundant life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has given us life in abundance. So think of marriage vows. go like this, just one certain marriage for us. I promise in the presence of God, our family and friends, to stand beside them with your words. And then listen to you how they go. And we just say, well, we don't say marriage vows, but we hear them. We don't think about it much, but listen to this. In times of joy and sadness, in times of harmony and anger, in times of health and pain, in times for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, and forsaken all others, be faithful to you, etc., etc. So we only hear. And you know, when you go to a wedding, you hear what you hear in the vows is in times of joy, in times of harmony, in times of health, for better, for richer, in health. That's what we hear. We don't hear the other side of it. But Christianity is very much like that as well. We only hear that side of it sometimes. But as we see today, that there are tensions in the kingdom. And we're talking about joy this morning. So vows are such a good picture of the tensions in the kingdom. The already and the not yet, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the joy and the sorrow. And as we look at our community, as we look at our nation, as we look at the earth and the residents, the earthlings on this earth, it's easy to get tired, despondent, disconnected, and worn down. Anybody? Okay, just checking. Maybe it's just me. So the purpose of this morning, I want to talk about joy. Okay, this is not just my church base. I really believe this stuff that I'm going to be sharing with you. Okay, is to connect us with the Holy Spirit and with joy. So that's the deal. That you will be joyful when you leave this place because you encounter Jesus and the Holy Spirit and imparts supernatural joy to you. Okay, today's an invitation to joy. Joy in spite or despite of our circumstances. Just like the vows are here. In times of joy and sadness. And we're going to look at a biblical account of joy, and that's what I'm going to be sharing with you. Hopefully, we'll discover joy this morning. And joy is inexplicable to people who don't have the joy of the Lord. How do you explain the joy of the Lord to someone who doesn't have it? You can't. You know, or an unbeliever. And have you tried to explain, like stuff's going on in your life, and you're going, you know, I have family that are atheists and stuff like that. They're going, but there's all this going on, and you're okay. And I go, no, I have the joy of the Lord. I go, that doesn't make any sense. Did you go to the pharmacy? Did you get some pills? Because I also want some. You know, sometimes you meet those kind of people that look like they're on happy pills, and you go, no, I need some of those pills, because they just look happy all the time. But it's because Jesus is in their lives. You know, if you're feeling joyless this morning, I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your portion this morning and will be instilled to you as we just unpack some thoughts around joy together. So next week we're going to celebrate Christmas. Yeah. and one of the traditions of Christmas is we give presents. Anybody? Okay, just checking if this church does that. Okay, our family, we give presents. Okay? And presents sometimes bring happiness. I know for me, babe, when you buy me that fishing rod, I'm going to be happy, okay? I'm just, you know, socks and hands, okay? All right. Sweating, man. I know, the fishing rod will make me happy. I promise I'm going to be really happy, okay? But happiness is dependent on circumstances. It's circumstantial, okay? So, let me ask you, last year did you get some Christmas gifts? Okay, some people got some Christmas gifts. If you got your Christmas gifts last year, did they make you happy? Did they put a smile on your face?
Yeah.
No. Because I let me ask you, are they still making you happy? And yes, okay, someone got some very special Christmas presents. Because for me, the next question was going to be, so, what did you actually get last year for Christmas? Because I don't remember. Sorry, I remember, okay. It was a fishing rod. No, it was socks, and that's still making me happy, okay. That was a good guess. No, but are they still making you happy? Chances are you don't even remember what gifts you got. So joy is not happiness, it's a different thing. Happiness is circumstantial, joy is something different. Joy is not circumstance dependent. Joy is an enduring attitude of your heart and spirit and should be a natural part of Christian life. It should actually be a natural part of Christian life. Yeah, when I bought a new pair of shoes, I was happy. When my children were born, I had joy. And 27 years later, Josh is 27, I still have joy over my children. You see, different. There's a difference between joy and happiness. Joy is the constant gladness that calls to rejoice because Jesus died for us. He restored us to peace with God, and it can't be undone. Joy is birthed from an inner strengthening of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where it's birthed. So, do you know, where am I? Do you know how many times the word joy appears in Scripture? Any guesses? You can say it, it's okay, it's one of those churches. It's going to become one of those churches that you can speak at the preacher, okay? 365, not quite. So, 217 times, thank you. No, listen, it's all good, eh? Because I'm not finished. Do you know how many times the word joyful appears in Scripture? 16 times. Do you know how many times the word joyfully appears in Scripture? 11 times. So, that means joy, or the reference to joy, references to joy, appear 244 times in Scripture. Now, family, I am not a clever man, okay? But I would expect, I suspect that God might be saying something to us. If in the book, joy appears, and references to joy appear 244 times in Scripture, I think God might be saying something. I'm quite thick-skinned, I don't know, but I suspect he may be. Okay? So, let's talk a little bit about this. In the Old Testament, the word for joy comes from the Hebrew, and it's a mix of two words, simcha and sason. And translated means this: glee, exceeding gladness, joyfulness, mirth, pleasing, pleasure, rejoicing, cheerfulness, welcoming of gladness, joy, mirth, and rejoicing. In the New Testament, the word for joy, see, I'm the original Greek, I know this one is chara. Chara. Okay, and translated it means cheerfulness, calm, delight, gladness, exceeding joy, being joyful, living joyfully, having joyfulness and delight, being joyous, in all circumstances, having joy. And so when I say joy, it's all those phrases put into one. All those phrases put into one. So, allow me to set the scene. Zechariah was a priest, and when he was in the temple, he met with the angel of the Lord. Him and his wife, Elizabeth, had given up hope of having a child. They were old. But the angel of the Lord promised they would have a son, and they did have a son, and he ended up being, anybody? John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Then Mary, who was engaged to Joseph, was visited by the angel Gabriel, who told her the power of the Lord would overshadow her, she would be found of child, and she should name the child Jesus, and he would be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. That's the context of what we're going to read together now. So read with me. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your baby, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So this passage tells us of Elizabeth, an elderly woman, who was given joy at conceiving a baby at her old age. After months of being on her own, her joy was realized when she met her cousin Mary, and the baby in her womb leapt with joy. The Holy Spirit was on Elizabeth, and she trusted God with her child. Elizabeth's joy sprang up when her baby moved in the presence of the unborn Jesus. Interesting, as we think about that. Jesus wasn't born yet, but the baby in the womb leapt with joy. Maybe, could I consider that, could we consider for a moment that it's the presence of Jesus that brings joy? The presence of Jesus that brings joy. Jesus said this, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. That your joy may be complete. Encountering Jesus gives us complete joy. Other translations of the Bible translate it this way, that your joy might be full, that you may have a full measure and complete joy and may overflow, and your joy wholly mature, that joy will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. The presence of Jesus brings joy. The presence of Jesus brought joy even before he was born. Think about that for a moment. Joy came at the fact that he would be born. Mary exclaims, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. The baby in my womb leapt for joy. And Jesus wasn't even born yet. Scripture goes on. Jesus says that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. You see it? My joy. Not your joy. His joy. His joy. There's a supernatural joy that is on offer to us today. That is not circumstantial, that is not happiness, that is not fickle, that is joy, the joy of the Lord. That we may have the full measure of his joy, the supernatural, wonderful, powerful, abundant, overflowing joy in our lives. Joy is not about what has happened. Joy isn't about what is happening. Joy can also be about what is going to happen. Think about it. What is going to happen? Joy can often be found not in what will be, joy can often be found in what will be, not what is. Because sometimes it's hard to find joy in that moment. It's hard to find joy as we pray for heaven. But what will be? In the twinkling of an eye, she will be transformed and be with her Lord. And she will not be in pain, and she will not be in suffering, and she will not. And for all eternity. It's all eternity. What will be? We will be with her again. And Tony will be with her again. Oops. What are God's promises over your life that haven't been fulfilled yet? Surely those would bring some joy. Anyone had any promises on their life that haven't been fulfilled yet from the Lord? Okay, just so you know, you all have, because if you read the Bible, if everything's been fulfilled, well then, if everything's been fulfilled, you're probably with Jesus. That should bring us joy. Even if you're going through difficulties right now, there are promises in Scripture that can bring us joy. Think of what Paul says to the Romans. He says this, and we know that God, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. God will work all, everything for the good, even though it might not feel like it in this moment. Even though you might not feel like it, even though it feels like it's such a far away thing, his promise is for you and for me. See that? All things, he works for the good. Think of that song that we sometimes sing, Waymaker. There's just a couple of words out of the song. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. And he works all things out for the good. Come on, that's got to bring joy to someone. Because if I focus on my circumstances now, it's either happiness or it's despair, it's not joy. But he's working. And that brings joy, because I know the last chapter hasn't been written. It hasn't been written. Yeah, you can experience joy right now, not because of what is, but what could be. Not what is happening right now, but what will be happening in the future. Not what promises haven't been fulfilled, but what promises could be, or not could be, will be fulfilled in the future. The last chapter has not been written. Surely, surely this should bring joy to us. Surely. It's not over. It's not over. Jesus said this, I'll give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Come on now. Another amen or a hand or something. I mean, Jesus, come on. There it is. Surely that should give us joy. You know, we focus on someone in the prayer meeting this morning said I made the mistake of reading the news the whole week. I don't know. You know, but there it is. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Surely that should give us joy. Surely that should do something in our lives to impart a supernatural joy, that there is this something that, man, even though there's trials we go through, we're children of God, and nothing can snatch us out of his hands. Paul says it this way to the Romans, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know, but when I read that, I go, okay, I can get through this trial because joy is in me, because it is my portion, because I know Jesus and I know at the end it's going to be okay. Because if it's not okay, it's not the end. That's the deal. That's the deal. Each of us are God's child, his precious possession. I mean, he loves you so much that he gave his son for you. The Almighty Creator of heaven and earth gave his son for you. That's how much he loves you. Lord, thank you. That puts joy in my life. And I know that my life, though I see the struggle and the pain and the stuff, I know that I have this joy inside of me that can get me through today, because it is not dependent on my circumstances. It's dependent on your word, on who you are, and what my future holds in you. That's the deal. That's the deal. This promise should bring joy to our hearts. The presence of Jesus brings joy. The shepherds knew this. The shepherds knew this. Let's just read these scriptures. They knew this, that there would be good news of great joy. Let's read it together. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. There's another sermon in there, by the way. You know, everyone has a picture of angels and these nice little fluffy fellows. Yeah, okay. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. You see it? Good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of... Am I back? Apologies. Mustn't wave my hands around so much. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for all people. A Savior has been born. Come on. Hey? That's got to give us joy. Because what happens is we begin to see life through lenses of eternity. Can you see life through lenses of eternity? Because if you can't have supernatural joy. Because if you can't see that eternity is there and ahead of us, and that God has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for our life here and in the future for all ages with him, that's the deal. It's Jesus. So in a nutshell, what they were saying, the good news of great joy, is that in Jesus, now this is good news, right? Okay, stay with me now, this is good news. There's three things here that you're going to see on the screen. One, the power, the pollution, and the penalty of sin has been dealt with. I don't know. How are you feeling? I don't know. Well, like for me, I'm going, how? Because I know I'm a scavenger. I know what goes on inside you so far. I know that I need to be redeemed. I know that I'm a new creation in Jesus, and that my Father in heaven sees me as his son and loves me and cares for me and has an eternal eternal plan and purpose for my life, and that gives me joy. He doesn't see me as the rubbish that I am. He sees me as his son. And the power of sin in my life is dealt with. And the pollution of sin in my life is dealt with. And the penalty of sin has been dealt with in my life. Joy. The joy of the Lord. There's a but here. Okay? We cannot do it on our own. You cannot produce joy. Can I say it again? You cannot produce joy. You cannot do it through discipline. You can't force yourself. You can't name it, claim it, and frame it. You can't deny what's going on in your circumstances. No, I've seen that. I'm still involved with a fraternal from Kingdom Valley, and there's lots of churches, about 70 churches, Christian organizations that are part of that, in Joburg side. And we used to sometimes, in the past, have guys that come, pastors, we feel so safe here, because the church we belong to, we walk in, and it doesn't matter if your cat's bitten your dog, if your wife's left you, whatever, you walk into church, and I'm blessed with the blood, I'm victorious, I'm fine, and you are in denial, that's what you are. You can't produce this on your own. You can't discipline yourself. You can't claim it from it. You can't think it. It is supernatural joy. Okay? Let me give you an illustration. When I was growing up, I was an industrious young man. So I was a youngster. I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old. I forget. And I saw something on TV, one of the programs we watched, and I saw robots. And I was like, I can make a robot. So I remember, I got like a box. And I took a box and I put sticks in, and I made legs, and I put a balloon, and I put a face, and all that. But you know what? It never kind of woke up. Much to my disappointment, I must tell you. But it actually goes further. Okay, I don't know if this is, I'm industrious, I'm just done. But then, I remember, I used to love chocolate, okay? And on a side note, you know, my wife's got a bakery, man's got a bakery. So, you know, when you smell perfume, you think of your wife. I walk past cake shops and I smell chocolate and I think of my wife. But now, I felt like chocolate. My mom said, no. Because I was a rather large chap. I think I was this size from when I was very young. You know? So she said, no, you can't have chocolate. So being an industrious guy, and I went and I took some chocolate and I read it. It said it's got milk and sugar in it. I said, nah, I can make chocolate. So I mixed milk and sugar and I thought, sure, if I put it in the freezer, it's going to turn into chocolate. And I put it in the freezer, and much to my disappointment, well, it didn't become chocolate. It's a similar deal with my robot and my chocolate, with joy. You cannot produce joy. You can't. Joy is only found in a person. The joy producer, Jesus Christ. That's the deal. You can't produce this. You can only receive it from Jesus, because he is the joy producer. When you're focused on him, on his presence, through the Holy Spirit, there's fruit. And we cannot produce fruit, kingdom fruit, any more than we can produce joy. We do have our role to play in planting a fruit tree, adding nutrients to the soil, watering it, caring for it, pruning it, and if cared for properly, it's going to produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. Can you produce fruit? Anyone feel like an orange? Hang on. Let me manifest it. I've never managed it. Okay? But you have a role to play. You plant it, you water it, you nurture it, and it grows into a fruit tree, and you have fruit. So if we focus on the joy producer, Jesus, the person who produces supernatural joy in our lives, Jesus, and if we take his promises in his word, if we apply them, if we live by his word, if we're obedient to it, we will see fruit. What fruit? Well, the fruits of the Spirit, as laid out here. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I don't know if you can see that other word, the next one. The big one, can you see it? Anybody? Just checking. Okay, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit of God. It comes encountering Jesus is joy. One of the fruits is joy. Biblical joy is a result of a Christ-prioritized life. Prioritize Jesus and his lordship in your life, and joy will be a fruit of it. That's the deal. So let me ask you a question this morning. How fruity are you? In this context. Minus other contexts. How okay, sorry, I'm being naughty now. I need to stick to my notes. But how fruity are you? Are you going after his, the Jesus that I'm talking about, the person of Jesus, the joy producer, his righteousness and his kingdom, that joy may be added unto you. Supernatural joy. How fruity is your life? Because you, do you know today you can honor Jesus by living a joyful life? And what is living a joyful life look like in your circumstances and in your context? Joy is such an important part of Christian life because it's what gets us through the difficulties. It's what sits inside of us going, it's going to be okay. Nehemiah said this, don't grieve because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, there are promises we can hold on to. There is something we can hold on to, and it's not about blind faith. It's about speaking God's word. It's about believing his promises and going, at the end, it's going to be okay. And then we encounter Jesus and we press into his presence, and more of his presence comes into our lives. And the fruit of that is this joy that can't be contained. And in spite of whatever's going on in your life, there is joy. I don't know if anyone's had that. Anyone experienced that? I pray that you have, and I pray that you do, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. So today, you're invited to joy. I want us to pray because the presence of Jesus is the joy producer in our lives. The presence of Jesus, he is the joy producer in our lives. And joy can often be found not in what will be, not in what is, but what in what will be. Not in what is, but what will be. Getting tongue-tied. Did I say that right now? I did, thanks. Okay. But it is living a Christ-prioritized life, putting him first, letting him take lordship of his life, pressing into his presence, and the fruit of that is supernatural joy, which gives you strength to get through the day. So would you allow the Holy Spirit this morning to show you and reveal to you the joy set out before you? The promises that he's made over your life, because I know everyone here has received promises from the Lord. You have. If you read the book, there's promises that you can hold on to that give life and give joy. So why don't we stand and let's pray. So Holy Spirit, would you give you power in this place? God, would your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives? Lord, for those this morning who feel joyless, may joy be their portion and they encounter you. The Lord Jesus is inviting you to just look up. Just simply come into his presence. If you want joy in your life, joy that is not circumstantial, you want to connect with the joy that is available for you today, is found in the person of Jesus. So maybe in this moment, Have you been a Christian for 50 years or 5 minutes? Maybe you've never actually made this commitment to Jesus. It's time to just come into His presence. So Holy Spirit, would you come? And I say to you this morning, family, just receive the Holy Spirit. Refresh your relationship with Jesus anew. Receive His love and His purposes and His presence. Lord, let your joy fall emptiness. Let your joy come in the barren places. Let your joy come in the despair. Let your joy come in the pain. Let your joy come in our rest. Let your joy come in our families. Let your joy come as we look at next year. Let your joy come as we look at our finances, as we look at the economy, as we look at our nation. Let it not be despair that we see, but let us see through the lenses of eternity. Because so much is not okay, but the last chapter has not been written. So receive kingdom joy here this morning. Holy Spirit, would you move in power? Would your kingdom come and your will be done?